from West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
Support for the legislature today is provided by the following.
AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State. Online at aarp.org/WV. West Virginia Higher Education Policy Commission, working to double the degrees produced annually to meet workforce demands and grow West Virginia's economy. Learn more at wvhepc.edu. The W. Page Pitt School of Journalism and Mass Communications at Marshall University, providing hands-on education in advertising, public relations, and journalism across all media platforms.
At the legislature today, federal regulators say broadband access in West Virginia is seriously lacking. But lawmakers are taking their time putting together legislation to take on the issue. We focus in on some health bills making their way through the House, and the chairs of the House and Senate Transportation Committees react to the governor's plan to raise taxes and fees to build roads. Those stories and more coming up on the legislature today. Good evening, I'm Ashton Mara. Governor Jim Justice was joined by his Revenue Secretary Dave Hardy at the Capitol today for a press conference focused on the state's financial health. Justice has been calling on lawmakers to increase taxes by some $450 million to close a gap in the 2018 budget. At that press conference, Hardy announced Moody's, an investment agency, has downgraded the state's bond rating from AA1 to AA2. The downgrade is the third for the state since April of 2016, and Hardy says it came because of the structural imbalance in the state's budget, perpetually spending more than it's bringing in. Here is Justice's reaction to the announcement.
Well, guys, all I can say is this just makes me sick. I mean, that's just all there is to it. You know, the problem that I can't bear is simply just this. You know, there was an old story, and you've probably heard it a bunch of times, but, you know, where the guy was below the dam and the waters were coming up, and the park ranger came and said, "You got to leave." And he said, "No, I'm not going to leave. The good Lord will save me." And then for the next thing, the water kept coming up, and here the park rangers come back in the boat and they say, jump in, you gotta leave, the water's coming up. And he doesn't leave. And the next thing, he's on the roof and the helicopter flies in and says, "Get on," and he won't get on, and he washes away. Well, as he goes through the pearly gates, he said, "Lord, I thought you were gonna save me." And he said, "I tried three times. You know, I sent the park rangers, the boat, and the helicopter." Well, you see, we've been years and we won't react. All we want to do is kick a can down the road and we won't react and we won't do. And now we are where we are. You know, it's disappointing as it can be to get downgraded. You know, we had first S&P and then Fitch's, and you know, I mean, for crying out loud, and now the third. And it's just going to get worse. It's not going to get better. It's just going to get worse if we don't act and we don't do something. Now, it's going to hurt our communities, there's no question. Our borrowing just got more expensive, no question. And you've gotten a way to think about this is just think of our bond rating as your credit rating. You know, what happens to you when your credit, when you've got bad credit? Now,
Governor Justice said that on a call with the agency this morning, a Moody's official warned him the state would continue to be downgraded unless it can find a way to create long-term growth and diversity in its economy. The governor did not take questions from reporters after the announcement. Over the weekend, Governor Justice began his Save Our State tour, stopping in Raleigh County to promote the completion of the Coalfields Expressway. It's a four-lane highway that would run through southern West Virginia into southwestern Virginia, opening up the area to potential economic expansion. Justice says if lawmakers and voters take a serious look at his plan to increase highway funding, he could complete that road and many others. Here this evening to discuss his plan are the chairs of the Legislative Transportation Committees. Senator Greg Boso is from Nicholas County. This is his first year serving as chair. And Delegate Marty Gearhart is from Mercer County. He is the chair of the House's Transportation Committee. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
So let's start first, if we can, with a reaction to the governor's press conference this afternoon and the downgrading of the state's bond rating. Senator, do you want to start? Any reaction there?
Well, obviously, you know, we're disappointed to see the downgrade in the rating. It does, as the governor indicated, is a reflection of, if you will, our credit worthiness. We have struggled over the course of the last several years with revenue. But, you know, as a legislature, we've acted appropriately based on what the governor's revenue projections were. Unfortunately, the revenue projections that we received were not corresponding with what we've actually experienced with regard to expenditures that we've had to take on here within the state. We've had to go back mid-year, it seems, and make severe adjustments in our budget in order to make sure that we bring the expenditures in line with the revenue that actually is coming into the state.
Delegate, do you have any reaction to the downgrade?
Well, I'm equally disappointed. It's sad when it's going to cost us more when we have to go to the market and borrow money, and it makes things more difficult that are difficult right now. I do think that the governor has gone the wrong way at improving that. I'm not certain that by damaging a current fragile economy by increasing taxes and causing people to leave the state or to have less activity is necessarily the way to improve one's credit rating. It seems to me like that's a way to spiral it down further. This legislature is working hard to create a tax and a legal environment where people can compete in a variety of different industries, can produce activity, and thus, you know, our goal is certainly not funds to the government. It's funds in the pockets of West Virginians, but the outgrowth of that is, in fact, additional revenue to the state that we can do a variety of things, including infrastructure, that need to be done.
Well, let's talk about the governor's proposal to actually bond some new revenues to increase infrastructure construction in the state. The governor's proposing a 10-cent increase on the gasoline tax, a $1 increase on the tolls on the turnpike, and an increase on some DMV licensing fees from $30 to $50. The legislature would have to approve those increases, and then in order to bond them, they would go out to the voters who would have to approve it. Let's start with you, Senator. If these proposals came to your committee, they haven't been introduced into either chamber yet. The governor hasn't put forward the bills.
That's correct.
But if they came to your committee, how would you handle them?
Well, obviously, I want to sit down and meet with each of our committee members to get their, if you will, take a temperature reading on where they stand, where they feel we need to be looking at. Many of the committee members have already expressed some displeasure. We're struggling right now in a difficult economy throughout West Virginia. For instance, 10 cent per gallon tax on our middle class and lower class people is absolutely a non-starter when you have to think about these people that are having to travel many miles to work in order to provide for their families. We don't think about it, but you know, those are the people that would struggle with that 10 cent per gallon. And so that's gonna be very difficult to take on. But when we look at the fact that we've gotta have an infrastructure and transportation revenue program to support what we need to do here within the state, particularly when you get to looking at the infrastructure projects, infrastructure system, that is, when you look, the American Society of Civil Engineers looks at it and says, you know, you're a D minus or you're a D. We need to be investing in our infrastructure systems here within the state to be able to provide safety to everyone.
Delegate, if those bills came to your committee, if the speaker sent them to you, how would you handle them?
Well, I'm not certain that the speaker will send them to me, to be honest with you. I have talked to the members of my committee, members of the Republican caucus, and a variety of people, and I have yet to find a person that favors an increase in the tax on gasoline. Most people have more of a tendency to complain about the DMV than to have any desire to pay any additional fees. And if you look at the DMV now, currently they take in almost four times the amount of revenue that it requires to run that agency. With the balance of that going to the state road fund. So the DMV is currently charging fees that are more than adequate to support what they do and making a heavy contribution to the state road fund. My opinion with regard to the tolls and the bonding is well stated over time. I believe that the continuation of tolls past their scheduled removal date in 2019 is a broken promise. It's a 35-year-old broken promise, and my committee passed just Monday a plan that does provide for funding and dissolution of assets and a short continuation of tolls to take care of all of the things necessary to put that road in its place according to code, which is toll-free after 2019. So I cannot imagine that any bill to increase toll fees or to allow bonding of the Parkways Authority, which is not currently allowed in code, to come to my committee, and if it did, to have any opportunity to pass.
Gentlemen, we've got less than a minute left, so I want very briefly from you one other priority for your committee this session. Senator, let's start with you.
Jobs. It has to be. We have to recognize that transportation and infrastructure drives jobs in the state of West Virginia.
Delegate?
Well, I think much the same thing, and we are doing what we can to drive dollars to the Division of Highways and the State Road Fund. We did, in fact, pass a bill to eliminate the courtesy patrol, which would eliminate a $5 million line item. I met with officials of Division of Highways, and we've identified $16 million worth of latent funds and special revenue accounts that should be taken down and committed to that. We know that we had a purchasing problem with regard to paving. We hope to be able to purchase those products that we do purchase more economically and utilize not only the additional funds that we're committing, but the funds that we have there now to go much, much further. And I think that we can do that by the things that we're doing. And every dollar we put there does put West Virginians to work and gives West Virginians the opportunity to be successful by having a road system where they can do business.
Delegate Marty Gerhart and Senator Greg Bosso, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Lawmakers are 14 days into this legislative session, and so far, not a single bill dealing with broadband expansion has been introduced. The issue received attention early last session, but lawmakers say they're still working on a plan to reach both unserved and underserved areas of West Virginia. 33% of West Virginians do not have access to basic broadband service under federal definitions. When you look at just the rural parts of the state, that percentage increases to 48, according to the Federal Communications Commission. The lack of access poses a problem for many West Virginians on a daily basis, including Delegate Roger Hanshaw, who represents parts of Clay, Calhoun, and Gilmer counties.
My family owns a hardware store there in the municipality of Clay, and there are often times in which we can't process a credit card because connectivity is so poor. A credit card.
Hanshaw says that's unacceptable in the 21st century. So far this session, no member of the legislature has introduced a bill to take on the lack of access. But Hanshaw says those talks are underway in his chamber.
All over the Capitol right now, we have representatives of all of the companies who provide internet service in West Virginia. So that's the telecommunication companies, it's the cable companies, and every provider have an almost daily meetings about just what kind of help the state can offer.
But exactly what that help looks like hasn't been determined. During the 2016 legislative session, then-Republican Senator Chris Walters championed a bill to create a government-owned broadband network, using a bond to pay for its construction. The bill made it through his chamber, but members in both bodies had concerns about government interfering in private business. That included now Senate President Mitch Carmichael, who works for Frontier, one of the largest internet providers in the state. Advocacy groups have started pushing lawmakers to take action this year, including the AARP. State Director Gayling Miller released the group's legislative priorities today, and broadband is near the top of the list. This year, the AARP is teaming up with Generation West Virginia, a group that advocates for millennial issues, to get a bill passed.
The issue is so important that you have all the generations from the AARP to Generation West Virginia coming together to say, hey, look, let's shine a light on the issue. Let's see what we can do to work together to move the state forward.
For the AARP, access to broadband is about keeping seniors in rural areas connected to their friends and family, but it's also about creating a better quality of life.
The promise of telehealth needs to be fulfilled.
Senate Majority Leader Ryan Ferns agrees telehealth could be improved if more areas had a stronger internet connection. And so could the use of electronic medical records, something required under the Federal Affordable Care Act.
I'm a medical provider myself, and I know that there's a major push towards electronic medical records. You can only do that if you can share those electronic medical records via broadband access. So if you have slow connection, that's simply not going to work. And so it's slowing down the progress of any industry, medical included.
This year, Ferns says proposals will likely come in the form of two pieces of legislation, at least in the Senate. One would incentivize private expansion into areas that currently don't have access with tax credits. The other would provide government-backed loans to internet companies to upgrade access in underserved areas or areas with slow internet speeds. Democratic Senator Mike Woeful opposed the government-owned network proposed in 2016 and says this year he'd likely support tax credits for businesses, but he still doesn't think they will make much of a difference.
Tax credits can be a useful tool, but the free market ultimately is going to drive this. And there are so many parts of our state, like I said, that don't even have a water line to their house. I don't know how we could justify subsidizing, broadband access to those folks before we can even give them water.
But Woeful and his colleagues on both sides of the aisle do agree that the lack of connectivity is impeding business expansion. And Hanshaw says that's one of his top concerns.
If we're going to talk about small businesses in West Virginia growing and doing new things and talking about a new economy, we have to give them the tools to do that. And one of those is being able to sell products to people who aren't in your backyard.
In 2015, the FCC reclassified broadband access as a public utility, blocking industry practices that allowed certain companies to pay to have their websites respond more quickly for consumers. The reclassification was eventually backed by federal courts, but many lawmakers in West Virginia, lawmakers in both parties, don't think broadband should be treated as an essential service rather than a luxury. Still, Senator Woeful says it's an expensive proposition for the state, no matter how the legislature decides to incentivize expansion.
To take it to that final mile or the last mile to someone's house or to someone's business is just due to our topography is going to be just an economic burden that the private sector is not likely to take on.
Delegate Hanshaw expects a broadband expansion bill to be introduced in his chamber by the end of the week. A similar deadline is expected to be met in the Senate as well.
Even though access to internet speeds deemed the most basic by the federal government is sparse in West Virginia, a recent poll shows that most West Virginians are satisfied with the service they have. Joining me to discuss the poll and its results is Curtis Wilkerson with the strategic communications firm Orion Strategies. Curtis, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So we need to start right off the top with the margin of error, who sponsored the survey,
sure.
All that kind of stuff.
That's great. Yeah. So West Virginia for Broadband came to us and asked us to do a survey statewide. We surveyed 600 historic likely voters across the entire state of West Virginia. We had from all 55 counties. They were equally distributed by congressional district, proportionate by age, gender, partisan breakdown. This is as good a snapshot as West Virginia is going to get with a plus or minus 4% margin of error. So we feel very good about this survey.
So the biggest finding is that West Virginians actually believe that their internet access is fine.
They do. You know, I think there's a difference between what the FCC has standards of and what the average West Virginia voter feels that he or she is receiving in their home. Right now, people are overwhelmingly satisfied with their internet. They do not want to pay for faster speeds at the moment. And when we ask them, what is your maximum download speed, 63% have no idea whatsoever, and very few were able to even give us numbers on top of that. So,
and you also polled about policies to increase access, what kind of policies people would support. What did you find there?
Sure. Well, you know, last year there was the concept of the middle mile bill that came up, and because there was no new legislation to poll for this year, as you mentioned, we took a look at what had been introduced last year. And when we asked people whether or not they thought it was good for the state to invest into this middle mile, which was estimated, I believe, at the time around $75 million, two-thirds of voters said they did not want their legislator to support that. Another piece of legislation that came up last year was the effort to put additional taxes or to remove the exemption on sales tax on telecommunication services, which then gets into internet access. 71% were very much against that too.
And only 2% felt like a lack of access to broadband was holding West Virginia back economically.
Yeah, it was a surprising number to us in many ways, but I think that people see the other issues first. Something like 47% in our survey found that the state having a history of a single industry was the biggest piece. State's aging population, lack of infrastructure when it came to highway infrastructure specifically, as well as education and so forth. But only 1.9% cited broadband access as a reason for the state's lagging economy compared to other states.
Incredibly interesting. Curtis Wilkerson with Orion Strategies, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
Much of the work at the legislature is taking place in committees in these early days of session. That's true for the House's Health and Substance Abuse Committees, where Liz McCormick reports on several bills that were considered today.
The looming 2018 budget isn't just a discussion in the House and Senate Finance Committees. It also trickles down into other committees as well, like the House Committee on Health and Human Resources. Budgetary concerns are why the committee's chair, Delegate Joe Ellington, says members are considering House Bill 2366. It would give the Secretary of the State Department of Health and Human Resources the ability to sell state-owned health care facilities, like the Jackie Withrow Hospital in Beckley. Jackie Withrow Hospital is almost 100 years old and was previously used as a tuberculosis clinic. Ellington says the hospital is a 600-bed facility, but currently it's only authorized for just about 200 beds.
Normal care for the patients is running about $25,000, $26,000 a year more per patient to the state relative to other facilities. The cost of renovating that building would be another $26 million. So the state's looking at, we're trying to tighten our belt. We're also looking at how do we deal with these facilities. We're looking at, do we build another facility or do we privatize it? We have to take care of obviously the patients and also the hospital personnel, as far as the employees, as far as what do we do with all of them in the least damaging manner possible.
The House Health Committee also looked at House Bill 2259 Tuesday afternoon, which would allow the health care authority to promote exemptions for certificates of need. Ellington says if someone wants to start a health care business in West Virginia, they have to go to the state and ask for a certificate of need to do so. But exemptions would make West Virginia more competitive.
Currently, we're one of the few states that has a certificate need. We revised that last year. This bill is more tweaking it toward telemedicine and also being able to nursing beds, be able to transfer nursing beds within the state.
He does say, however, it's important to pay attention to how many exemptions are given.
Well, if you put too many exemptions, then you have some facilities that don't have enough clientele to maintain it. Particularly some of our rural hospitals. We don't want to get rid of those facilities or make it harder on them to exist. But by the same token, we also want to increase access to care for our patients and our citizens.
House Bill 2259 passed out of committee without debate and was referred to House Judiciary for further consideration.
Last session, House Speaker Tim Armstead turned what was the Select Committee on Prevention and Treatment of Substance Abuse into an official committee to combat the state's drug epidemic. This year, delegates are looking at a number of bills to do just that.
One of those bills was discussed in the committee last week. Delegate Matthew Rohrbach is a Republican from Cabell County. He's also a doctor specializing in internal medicine. Between 2012 and 2014, Cabell County reported 125 overdose deaths, according to the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. That's part of the reason why Rohrbach is sponsoring House Bill 2329. The bill would make it illegal to produce, manufacture, or possess fentanyl, a highly addictive prescription painkiller.
Fentanyl, first of all, is a synthetic opioid that's 50 times more potent than heroin. And we're having a huge problem now with fentanyl and carfentanyl being cut into heroin to make it more potent. And people don't know what they're getting a hold of. And in Huntington, we had a bad batch you probably heard about in the fall, where we had 27 people overdose in a span of about 4 hours.
Rohrbach introduced a similar bill last year, but says it's still an issue he wants to take on legislatively. For the Legislature Today, I'm Liz McCormick in the House.
The bill to make fentanyl illegal in West Virginia is awaiting consideration by the House's Judiciary Committee. Tomorrow on the Legislature Today, we're joined by the chairs of the House and Senate Education Committees, Delegate Paul Espinosa and Senator Kenny Mann. And remember, you can watch the Legislature at Work live every day on the West Virginia Channel. Tune in at 11 a.m. to watch the House and Senate floor sessions, or catch them as they're rebroadcast each evening at 7 p.m. That's on the West Virginia Channel or streaming live at wvpublic.org. This has been the Legislature Today. I'm Ashton Mara. Thanks for joining us.
Support for the Legislature Today is provided by the following.
AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State. Online at aarp.org/WV. West Virginia Higher Education Policy Commission, working to double the degrees produced annually to meet workforce demands and grow West Virginia's economy. Learn more at wvhepc.edu. The W. Page Pitt School of Journalism and Mass Communications at Marshall University, providing hands-on education in advertising, public relations, and journalism across all media platforms. From West Virginia Public Broadcasting.